In other words, types and shadows. There's a type of, let me give you an example. Abraham, as he later became to be known, right? He was a type of God. And Sarah was a type of Mary. Because you look at the situation here, Sarah, if you will, she was ancient. Right? She was way past the age of childbearing. That was a miraculous birth. The same as Mary's miraculous birth. Only it was Abraham and God. It's your picture here. You get the picture here. And then we go on to the next. Carry that on down. Same routine. Carry it right on down to the boy, Isaac. Isaac, who's the type of who?
Jesus.
Anybody, come on.
Jesus.
Isaac was the type of who?
Jesus.
Oh, thank you. He's type of Christ, right? He was born. He was born. He type of Christ. And then all of a sudden we find out there's a guy named Eleazar. Remember that name? Eleazar? You ever hear of Eleazar? He was a servant, right? And a servant's a type of who? Come on. Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit's a servant, right? So you get the type there. You see, here's Isaac now. Come on down the line. And now that Eleazar, if you remember right, Eleazar, he was commissioned to do a job by who? He was commissioned to do a job by Abraham. He was told to go back to the home country and do what? He was told to go back to the home country and get a bride for who? Isaac. Right? So you get the picture here. Here's the picture in the Old Testament of what transpiring in the New Testament. The old is in the new revealed. The new is in the old concealed. But sometimes you've got to do a little digging to dig this out. Believe that Jesus is going to call us one of these days and we're going to meet him in the air?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's premillennial return of Jesus Christ. Okay? If you believe that, then I want to give you some ammunition because you're going to have some people that's going to contest that. They're going to be amillennialists and postmillennialists and all this routine. But I'm going to show you tonight a little bit about how you can use that word premillennialist for good existence. I grew up in a Baptist church. My daddy was a Baptist. He was saved in the United Brethren Church, by the way. And he converted to Baptist. We were Southern Baptist for a long time. And all the way through this routine, I was situated. I had fire insurance, I thought. And then one day, I had an evangelist lit the high fire to hell under my toes and showed me I didn't have fire insurance. So I got fire insurance. Okay? And after I got fire insurance, and decided, well, something's not right here, so I saw two families tear the church down one night in about 10 minutes. And I said, Lord, if this is Christianity, I don't need it. And I went back into the Navy, and 20 years later, I got out. And I started selling soap. So I'm kissing the ring and all this stuff, you know the routine, if you've been there. And all of a sudden it dawned on me, man, this ain't going to work. I said, these people ain't selling soap. They're using the same tactics that the Bible uses. They're talking about Christianity. So I decided to reevaluate my Christian walk. We hadn't been to church for a long time. I called my wife. I told her, I said, we're going to church Sunday. She said, what? I said, we're going to church Sunday. She said, we are? I said, yeah. She said, where are we going to church? I said, well, remember down Lakeview. I guess we better go down to Lakeview. Oh, okay. You weren't kidding, was you? I said, no, I said, I'm going to church tomorrow. Oh, okay. So we went to church, and I wound up going up there, and within a matter of 2 weeks, I had rededicated myself to ministry. That was in 1985. And I found out that fire insurance ain't enough. If you really love the man, if you really love him, man, you're going to do more. You're going to study. You're going to spend some time with him. Because I've been married. I don't know. You guys never did fight, did you? What I'm trying to say is, man, to spend that much time together, and you get all of yourself one-on-one, there comes a time when there's going to be a rhubarb. And it takes some time, it takes some work to get through some of that rhubarb, doesn't it? When I started preaching again, I couldn't get enough. History, all the stuff, the Jewish history. Because, you know, it was a Jewish carpenter that saved me. You know, he gave his life for me. So I figured I'd better learn a little bit about him. And, I had a set of books of Dad's about yay wide called McClintock and Strong's Encyclopedia of the Bible. So I started checking into it, and I found out a little bit about the Jewish wedding. And believe me, you guys are going to be shocked tonight, because that Jewish wedding was something to be studied. The first thing that had to be considered was the age of the bride, or the prospective bride. Now, if she was 9 years old or younger, then she didn't have to give consent. Dad can give consent. But if she was 9 years and one day, she had to give consent. That's number one. Number two, the way this thing holds steady, I don't have my horn here tonight. Anyway, he blows a horn for me. Because that's what happened when we call him Sammy and Susie tonight. I don't know what their name is. But anyway, Sammy gets ready to go next door and he wants to propose to Susie. Okay? Well, this has all been prearranged by Dad and Dad to begin with. So they go get everything set up, and the horn blows. And Sammy and his dad, they take off, and they go down. That's let Susie know that they're coming. So they take everything, and they get everything lined up. They take a skein of wine. They take the wedding contract, and they take the dowry. And they go down to Susie's house. They get out of Susie's house, and they walk into Susie's house, and they're welcomed, of course, and they sit there, and they discuss the situation for a while, and they look over the marriage contract, and if there's any changes being made, they make the changes, and everything's agreed upon. And the dowry is paid. Now, don't mistake that word dowry. It's a different situation than what you normally think of a dowry. In the Jewish wedding, the dowry was it was in case something happened to the man, or a divorce, which it was kind of common, but if something happened that she had to go back home, the dowry was for her. It was insurance policy, basically. That Dad had gotten rid of her once, now he had to take care of her again. The dowry was to help take care of her. That's what it was for, okay? And once everything was agreed to, once that was all agreed to, then they drank out of the skin of wine, all of them drank out of the skin of wine, and it was a done deal, and they go back home. Now, at this point in time, the wedding, the contract, is complete. For all practical purposes, they're married, but the marriage hasn't been consummated. Okay? So at this point in time, they've got a year, and she's supposed to be ready. Daytime or dark, don't make any difference, she's supposed to be ready for guess what? For Sammy to come get her. Okay? Now, Sammy's got a job to do in the meantime. Sammy's got to get back. Sammy's got a job to do. He's got to go back to Dad's house. And he's going to prepare the wedding chamber. The bedroom, if you will. He's got to build a bedroom. And it's got to meet Dad's approval. Now, I don't know whether you guys can remember being young and full of him and vinegar or not, but, you know, can't you see that kid? 3 o'clock in the morning, you know. Hey, Dad, is it good enough yet? Dad, is it done yet? Is it good enough yet? Nope, not yet. Nope. Oh, okay. Back to work. So this goes on, who knows, up to a year. And finally, one time, in the meantime, Susie's over here, she's waiting. And she's got to be ready 24 hours a day, 24/7, she's got to be ready. Her wedding party's got to be ready and everything else. It's got to be ready for him to come. So all of a sudden, that one day, that 4 o'clock in the morning, he called his dad. Hey, Dad, is it good enough? Yeah, son, good job. Goody. He don't wait, buddy. First thing he does, the horn blows. The last trump blows. The last wedding trump blows. Got that? Don't mistake that. There's two last trumps in the book, one in the last end of Revelation, But there's another one that blows before that, and that's the last wedding trump. And when that happens, Susie, immediately, she starts out. Her and her wedding party come to meet him. So they meet halfway, somewhere in between. And, boy, does this begin to sound familiar? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. Does that not sound like the last part of that? It sure does, doesn't it? And what precludes it? What? That horn's going to blow. That horn's going to blow. We talk about the meeting in the air. There it is. It shows it. It shows it in the Jewish wedding and ceremony. That we're going to meet each other. We're going to leave this earth and meet him. He's going to come out from heaven. He's going to meet us in the air. Just exactly the way that Jewish wedding. It's so amazing. Everything is right there. Then you've got another situation on that wedding party. You talk about the 10 Vestal Virgins. You remember them? I've heard this preached. I don't know. I can't prove this one rather from Scripture. But I've heard it preached about a dozen different ways. I'm sure all of you guys have too. Of who them 10 virgins were. But looking at it this way, I believe, though I heard a priest one time, I can't remember who preached it now, but heard a priest, he said, there's five of those guys that were Christians and five of them were Jews. That makes sense. Because what is the sign of the Holy Spirit in Scripture? Oil. Oil is a symbol for the Holy Spirit. They had no oil for their lamps. The Jewish did not believe in Christ as Savior. They have not accepted him as Messiah. So all of a sudden, you know, there's five Jewish virgins without the oil of the Holy Spirit, without the indwelling Holy Spirit, and they're shut out of the wedding ceremony. Now remember, once we go up there, then the wedding supper of the Lamb, I think, my own personal opinion, I think that's going to be a long supper. I think it's going to be 7 years. I think it's well, we're going to be celebrating up there with him. So all of a sudden, we're at the marriage supper of the Lamb. While that's happening, all hell's breaking out here on earth. You don't want to be there. Talking to Thessalonians, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, if you remember, it tells, well, let's just read it. I can't quote it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it starts out, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, nor be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us that the day of Christ is at hand. Now that's not the day of the Lord, that's the day of Christ. The day of the Lord in the King James is capital L-O-R-D, which is Jehovah God, or Yehovah God. So this is the day of Christ. That day is only mentioned three times in the Bible, by the way, the day of Christ. And that's, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except for come falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Falling away. Well, you've heard it preached 197,000 times, and that means calling away. That's a falling away from the faith. Well, it's that, but it's also something else. And I was backed up by a gentleman named Dr. Charles C. Ryrie. Had a chance to study under him for 3 days one time. Me and my brother Dale, we confronted him, and he said, we have understood, we have learned that that word can also mean a falling away, can mean a departure, like we leave this church, we leave this earth. He looked at us and he said, where'd you hear that? I said, we heard it. He said, that's an old rendition of that word. But he said, it's true. He said, it's a dual word, it's a dual meaning. He said, it means departure, like you leave from a bus station, but it can also depart from the Scriptures. Okay? So it's a dual fulfillment there. Who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God and is worshipped, so that he is God, set in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, and giving the benefit of the doubt, guys, he's not asking to be higher than God. He's not asking to be greater than God. He just wants to be equal to God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholding, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Always heard a priest, that means the Holy Spirit. Well, up to a point I'll agree with that. But I think it's a little bit harder to explain than that. Because when you and I accepted Christ, it's impossible for us to accept Christ unless we're drawn by the Holy Spirit. That's a necessary part of salvation. We have to be withdrawn by the Holy Spirit. So I think that, now, number one, that's number point one. Point two is that the Holy Spirit is, guess what? He's the same way as Jesus and God. They're eternal. Eternal never had a beginning. They ain't got no end. They ain't going to be taken out of the way. Got that? They ain't going to be taken out of the way. But he can withhold his pulling power. He can keep that pulling power back. So, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Ladies and gentlemen, those two verses of Scripture right there tell me that if you are not saved, if you don't know the Lord is your Savior today, and you're sitting under the sound of my voice tonight, that you're going to know the story, you're going to know that Jesus Christ was born, that he lived, that he died a horrible death, and that's the only way for salvation. And if you know that, if you already know that, it says to me here, he says, with all the deceitfulness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. They'll believe a lie. That group of people, the people that are lost on this earth tonight, that are lost, that have heard the word and have refused it, will never have an opportunity to be saved. I don't care what you hear a priest on television about, they're going to get a second chance. No, they ain't. Not according to my word. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And there's sanctification, sanctified, set apart. You know, when you're, I believe in three-stage sanctification. I don't know what you believe in. I believe in three-stage sanctification. I believe that when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when that event occurs, at that point in time, when the Holy Spirit comes to dwell inside of you, at that point in time, I believe that you're sanctified, you're set apart. But then there is positional sanctification. That's positional sanctification. Then there's that sanctification that you strive towards. He says all the way through this, he said you strive towards perfection. You want to be like Christ, but you're never going to quite make the grade. You're always going to be reaching. You're always going to be reaching. There's that kind. But then there's that perfect sanctification, and then you've got to be dead to get that. So that's where you're at on sanctification. Whereunto he called you by our gospel and to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast, hold the tradition for which ye have been taught, neither by word or our epistle. Now, all this has been said to complete that portion of Scripture where it says, that horn blew, and Jesus come to meet us, and we go meet him. Because when Jesus came, he came for everybody. When God created us, he created us with a free will. He created us with his desire, if you remember right, his desire, he wanted someone to worship with, someone to walk with, somebody to talk with, that wanted to talk with, he wanted to worship with. Yeah. The angels had to, because he created them. And he gave us that difference of the ability to make a choice. And that separates us from the animals, probably, by the way. The power of reasoning. And even back in Isaiah, and it says, come, let us reason together. And that's what we're doing tonight. That's what I'm trying to do tonight, is to reason, which is to show you the whole picture, and you pick out what you want. Because I'm not here to brainwash you. I'm here to educate you. Education, if there's three avenues of discussion on something, and I know all three of them, I'm going to give you all three of them. Then I'll tell you which one I believe and tell you why I believe it. And then it's up to you. You go study. You go do your Berean thing like the Bereans were supposed to do. They were supposed to listen to the preacher and then go home and check him out with us, saith the word of God. That's your job then. And then you make up your own mind. Don't let me make up your mind for you. You make up your mind, but you do it after listening to the solid evidence. That's what it's all about. That's education. So, somebody comes up here and just tries to brainwash you, no, run, don't walk. But if you want to study about Jesus Christ, you study this. Now, you can go ahead and you look at some of these books that you read, like the Left Behind series and all this stuff. Read that stuff for your enjoyment and maybe to get somebody else's idea on it, but always come back to this book and hear what it says and make up your mind what he wants you to see and to hear, because this is, brothers and sisters, the living word of God. It does prevail. It does prevail.